Good evening. We are finishing up our series on Galatians tonight, so open up to chapter 6, the last section of verses there, verses 11 through 18, we'll be looking at. Glad that each of you are here. I want to encourage our young people to go to the KFC and Teen Devotional after services tonight. I know that would be a good time and a blessing for them. Thinking about boasting tonight, I want to give you a quick review, first of all, of this series as we finish this series off. It might seem like this series has gone for a while. Turn this microphone on, please. It may seem like this series has gone on a long time because it's been since January that we started it, but I've only done it on Sunday nights, and it has only actually been about 13 lessons, but we've had a lot of other things on Sunday nights, and so we've spread it out. But I want to emphasize that our message has been salvation by faith, as Paul records throughout this great book of Galatians. And I want to remind you a few things about this book as we conclude it. These are things I shared in the first lesson to kind of bracket our study. It was probably written between 57 and 58 AD. The key verse from Galatians, as you think about this little book, is chapter 2, verse 16. Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. Because by the works of the law, no one will be justified. In chapter 5, verse 1, living in the Christian liberty that we've been given. And why did Paul write this letter? What's been the emphasis that we've tried to make the most of in our 13 lesson series? He wrote it, especially in the first two chapters, to defend his apostleship. He wrote it to defend the gospel. And remember, he talked about how the gospel did not come from the apostles. He did not receive his gospel from the apostles, but he received it directly from Jesus Christ. And to defend our Christian liberty, that we do not have to go back to the works of the law in the context of Galatians, to going back to keeping the law and circumcision and keeping the festivals and things of that nature, but in a broader context of being justified by the law. And so we have outlined this book by chapters 1 through 2. Paul focuses on the personal, the authority of his apostleship. Chapters 3 through 4, we studied the doctrinal and how we are saved by faith through grace. That's when he explains that. And then chapters 5 through 6, Paul will express the practical meaning of the liberty that we have. And so chapters 5 and 6 involves a lot of practical teachings, especially about the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit in chapter 5. I think Galatians has been a very good study. It's probably one of Paul's earlier letters, and it is one of his most abrupt and most straightforward letters. And it's like a miniature Romans, all right? Galatians was Paul's warm-up for Romans. And it says what Romans says in a much shorter way. And Romans is going to expand that and not add anything to it in the sense of change it, but add it in its explanation in a much longer way when he writes the epistle to Rome. But Galatians, Paul is, like one commentator said, it is Paul's thunderbolt. Paul is on fire because he has converted these Christians, and now these false teachers are coming in, and they are twisting them and leading them astray. And so now we'll conclude this epistle with verses 11 through 18. And so Paul is going to take up his pen and he's going to write in verse 11, "See with what large letters I'm writing to you with my own hand." You know, Paul often wrote through an amanuensis, someone who wrote for him. And these was maybe like a scribe or someone who's professional at writing. Of course, Paul spoke in his native tongue Hebrew or Aramaic as well. And he had learned Greek and had been raised in a Greek culture, but we don't know how well
Paul wrote Greek and Hebrew. He probably wrote it pretty well, but he might have had, as he often did, maybe because of his eyesight. In this epistle, remember, Paul refers to his eyesight. In 2 Corinthians, he talks about the thorn in the flesh, and some think that's his eyesight issue. So it's possible that Paul had dictated the letter, and then he comes to this final thing, and he wants to make sure they know that it's from him, and so he writes this last part on there, and it, so that they will be mindful that it's his, he writes it with his own signature way, with maybe large letters. Another possible explanation is that Paul had actually written the whole letter, but because of his eyesight and because of things, he wrote the whole letter with large print. And then a third possible explanation about this large print is that Paul is writing this last section with large letters as a way of like underlining or bolding in the ancient text. You know, in our modern day computers, if we really want to emphasize something, in the bulletin article, lots of times, you know, I'll have on the front of the bulletin, because I know we live in a fast-paced world, right? And we're not always thinking, what's the whole message Josh is going to say? We just want to see. And so we'll look, 1, 2, 3, and we'll have those 1 bolded and underlined, and 2 bolded and underlined. So then you can read it, and if you want to learn more, you can read the rest of it. Well, that's kind of what Paul is doing maybe with this large writing here, is he's saying this is the most important thing. Now, all those are possibilities. It is curious why Paul writes and says, you see with what large letters I've written. It's interesting that Amanda and I are just comparing the size of our Bibles, because I've been struggling to get my contact prescription well where I can see my Bible well. And so I was complaining that my Bible print is just small. Because, you know, it's not my eyesight, it has to be the Bible, right? And Amanda said, well, your Bible's got a large print compared to mine. And she was showing me her Bible print, which is much smaller. I was like, well, I have no hope of reading that one. So maybe it was just Paul needed a large print version. And so he was making sure they could see it. But anyways, the point I'm making with this is the letter has been very personal. Very personal. In fact, in chapter 1, verse 6, he begins with his defense. In chapter 2, verse 20, he talks about how he's been crucified unto Christ. And he uses the personal pronoun, Christ died for him and Christ loved him. And then in chapter 4, 13 through 20, he makes a personal appeal to them, where he talks about have they become his enemy because he declared the truth to them. And he pleads to them with his love for them and his personal relationship with them. And so it's only fitting that at the end of the letter, he writes in a personal way as well. It's my own handwriting. And so, I want you to understand that this is coming directly from Paul in a very personal way. Before we move on, let me say that it can be a blessing. It can be a blessing to share your thoughts and to still write personal letters, or to send a little text message, or especially handwritten letters and those kind of things can be very powerful. And they even can be very significant for future generations if you want to leave those things. And I think Paul is illustrating the importance of that even for our lives. But now let's notice our two main points. Verse number 12. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. There's two main emphases in this text. There's first of all the boasting in the flesh versus what we'll talk about later in verses 14 through 16, boasting in the cross of Christ. And our lesson this evening is basically that question. Where is our confidence? Where is our boasting? Are we going to boast in the flesh or in the cross of Christ? They wanted to avoid persecution. So in verse number 12, Paul speaks about how they're only boasting in the flesh and wanting to make a good show in the flesh so that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. The Jewish people were some of the first ones to persecute, right? When it comes to the Christians. We see this in the book of Acts, that they're going to be some of the most heavily persecuted persecutees of the apostles. And Paul himself had been one who was a Jewish person who was persecuting the Christians. And also, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 14 through 16, refers to the Judean brethren and all the trials and persecutions they're bringing upon Christians. The Jewish people, because they wanted to stomp out this new faith in Christ, persecuted the Christians. But there was often a compromise worked out, it seems, that if we could get these Christians to adopt Christianity, these Gentile Christians to adopt Judaism, to be circumcised, to come in and keep the law, then it was almost like, well, we're getting new Jewish followers, and if they're going to follow Christ too, it's all right. And so, in other words, Paul sees this compromise of the gospel as really a compromise so that they can avoid persecution. We might say it like this, so that they could be politically correct with the leaders back in Jerusalem. You remember, that's what's going on in chapter 2. When the leaders from Jerusalem came down, Peter withdrew and wouldn't even eat with these Gentile Christians because he didn't want his name connected with that. And so they are boasting in the flesh because they wanted to avoid persecution. Let me say something about this point for our application. And that is, it's easy to give in to the flesh when we can avoid feeling awkward, being ostracized, and especially if we were to face persecution. You know, it's easy to be a Christian and to stand up for Christ and the cross of Christ when we're in this building. But when we're out in the world, when we feel a little awkward about it, when we feel like people are going to talk about us, when we feel like we're the only one that will have this view or this belief or this moral position, it's hard sometimes, isn't it, to stand up. And so we can give in to the flesh, we can take confidence in the flesh, and we can really compromise our faith in Christ by simply doing something to avoid some type of repercussion. And we need to be willing to stand up for our faith. But number two, they wanted to boast in the Gentiles. Paul said that in verse number 13, "For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh." They wanted to use their conquest and their conversions as a reason for boasting. They were interested in impressing others, taking pride in their accomplishments. It wasn't about the person, it was about the number. The churches aren't ever interested in that today, are we? It was about the selfish attainment. It was a made religion. It had made religion and faith into a business. In other words, these Judaizing teachers wanted to have a good number to report. It's like some of the reports that often you might hear coming out of India. And I know Brother Demar Elam and others have talked about some things that go on in the mission field and about how there are often corruptions. And there's, you know, you go over there and you'll find out that there's this one guy or people that will tell you they've been baptized 3 or 4 times. Yeah, a different preacher comes along, they'll be baptized because they get a new meal and get a little money, get some blessings. And it's not about the person really, but it's about the missionary. And maybe whether they're aware of this or not, it's often about the numbers. And we can be guilty sometimes, right? We need to focus on baptism because baptism is a soul that is saved, but we don't need to just focus on the number that are baptized. See what I'm saying with this? That it's not just about the attendance or the church size or the preacher or all these kind of things, but it's about people. And these Jewish teachers, they were interested in these Gentiles and they were boasting in them because they were their accomplishment. They were taking pride in them. Well, I've got this many people following me. And Paul said they're not really caring about you. And I think that we need to be sincere in our love. And so
they were also inconsistent hypocrites. Paul says that not only were they boasting in the flesh, in that they were doing it to avoid persecution and boasting in the Gentiles as a numbers game and business game, but they were also inconsistent hypocrites. For he says that even those who are circumcised, these Jewish teachers, this of the circumcision party, they do not themselves keep the law. But they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. You remember Peter in Acts chapter 15, verse 10? He says, why do we want to put a yoke of bondage upon them that we ourselves could not keep? And Peter in Galatians 2, he was requiring things of the Gentiles that he himself wasn't doing. He was being prejudiced, and Paul withstood him to the face. And then in Romans chapter 7, Paul speaks about how he had wanted to keep the law, but he always failed to keep the law. The law was impossible to keep. And so Paul says, these people are wanting to bind something on you. They're wanting to require this legalistic salvation and earning your salvation. But he's saying, they are not doing it either. They can't do it. And so it's really about insincere motives for these false teachers. It's about insincere motives. They're boasting in the flesh. And so as we think about the overall message of this boasting in the flesh, the message for us is this. Boasting in the flesh is a focus on the outward over the inward. I want you to think about that for a few moments. It is when we focus on the form while neglecting the function. You know, you could have done right this morning by taking the Lord's Supper. Because that's a scriptural thing to do, and we need to do that, and you certainly understand that I believe that. But you could have done wrong this morning by taking the Lord's Supper too, couldn't you? It's a right form, and you did the right thing outwardly. But Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11 that if you do not take it in a worthy manner, in a way that is judging yourself and making sure that you're living right and you're not being hypocritical in your life and in your relationship with God and your relationship with your fellow brethren, that you bring judgment upon yourself. Think about that. I don't know. I can look around and I can tell if you took it out of the right form. Because I can know, yep, he broke the cracker and ate the cracker and he took the juice and drank the juice. They did what's right. But you know, I really don't know if you did what's right in your heart, do I? Only you know. And see, one of those is focused on the outward. And we need to have the outward right. And we need to do the outward right. But we also need to understand that this is what Jesus talks about in worship in truth and in spirit. There needs to be an inward component. And it's not just with worship, but it's with a lot of things. That worship or boasting in the flesh is focused on the outward. For example, many people can be a part of Christianity for outward reasons. They're here because of other people. They're here because of business or because of a spouse or because, well, my kids need to come to church. I know it's good that my kids come to church. Well, is it just good for your kids? You know, why are you here? You see, that's outward reasons. Some people focus on clothes. I kind of did tonight, maybe, right? You know, someone said, boy, you're awful bright. I said, I want y'all to stay awake tonight. But if we get all wrapped up in our clothes, that's outward. It's not inward. That's boasting in the flesh. That's focused on the flesh. If that's the reason, if that's our focus. Think about some other things. If we focus on names and people over the church, well, that church, they have a lot of influential people. They got some really big names in that church. Or they got a real big name preacher in the brotherhood. Or if we focus, and this is something that we need to always be conscious of here because we're really blessed. We are blessed. But you know, it's not about our building. We have a beautiful property here. We're blessed. A lot of churches of Christ across America do not have anything to compare with what we have. With 10 acres, this beautiful building,
the expansion. We're enjoying this new expansion. We have so many blessings. The classroom facilities we have. We need to be thankful. But, you know, this building is not where we should take our pride, is it? You know, there needs to be a healthy pride in taking care of the building, obviously, but that's not where we boast at. We don't say, well, that's Seven Oaks Church of Christ. They're a wonderful church. Why? Because they've got the most beautiful building in all of Graves County. That makes them a good church. They've got this new room back there you can have great showers in and great fellowship meals in. It's wonderful. You see, we got to always be careful about boasting in the flesh. It's about outward over inward. When you think about Paul in Philippians chapter 3, he emphasizes this truth. But we need to move on to boasting in the cross of Christ. Paul says in verses 13 through 14, verse 14 and 15, excuse me, as he says, "But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For neither circumcision, neither this outward form is for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation." What matters are you a new creation? It's not about whether you are a Jew or a Gentile, or whether you have done this act of the old law or not. "As for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God." Paul took his hope in the crucified Lord. It was in the fact that Jesus died for him, in that grace he had received. If you look through this epistle, you see that Paul emphasizes the blood of Jesus and the sacrifice of Jesus. He begins in chapter 1, verse 4, when he says that Christ gave himself for our sins. He gave himself. In chapter 2, verse 20, as I've already referred to, the crucifixion. Chapter 5, verse 24, we're crucifying our flesh with its passions and desires. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, when Paul speaks of his coming to Corinth, he says he did not know anything among them except Christ and Him crucified. Our preaching, our teaching, our focus must always be upon the cross. And so we might need to come back to this idea of being a new creation. And of course, Paul is referring once again to our baptism and to our being made anew. What Jesus said in John 3, 5, when we're born anew, we're made new in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, 17, that we're made a new creation. And this is the freedom we have in Galatians 5 and 6. And therefore, 1 Corinthians 1, 31, Paul would say, we're not to boast in anything except that we know the Lord. When you think about boasting in the cross, I think it's really about where do we take our pride and are we humble? I know that we could use a lot of examples, but I'm going to use one though. I talk about a lot of people, I think, to illustrate this, because he's not here and I won't embarrass him by saying this. But this past Wednesday night, Dr. Grogan, and of course his family and Dr. Grogan came, and he did a great job. And I think Jeff illustrated in his prayer as well some of the thoughts I had about how he gave so much glory to God all throughout that presentation. Now, I want to emphasize that what is Dr. Grogan's lifetime profession? Surgeon. And I'm not trying to be judgmental of surgeons. Maybe this isn't a true stereotype. But in a lot of ways, I think in our culture, it seems that those in that profession, those who have attained such levels of education and done a lot of that work, and especially heart surgeons, brain surgeons, and all those people, they can be known for being what? Arrogant. I think there was even a movie one time that talked about the surgeon who said, "I am God." And, you know, he was very corrupt in his dealing, but he had all authority, he felt like. And doctors and surgeons are sometimes stereotypically in our culture known for that, for arrogance and pride. But I want you to think about Dr. Grogan and how he had spent his life doing that and could be very proud of that in an arrogant way and all that he has been able to do. But what was his focus? His focus was on God.
and giving God the glory. And I think that's what it means to boast in the cross versus boasting in the flesh. See the difference? One says, I have confidence in my abilities and all that I've done. And that's what legalism is. I'm earning all the things that I'm entitled to. And the other says, I have received the grace of God. And all the blessings I have and the talents I have been given to me by God. And I am thankful for them. And I know Dr. Grogan is just one illustration. As I said, I could use many. But I think that he illustrates what I'm trying to talk about. Boasting in the cross versus boasting in the flesh. And Paul proved where his boasting lied, verse 17. For from now on, no one can cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. Paul says, I have proved it by my life. And I want to say that that's where our proof needs to be. Not in our words, solely at least, but needs to be in our life, by the example we live. Maybe not in our case, by the marks on our body, we may not have persecution, but by our life, we need to let it be lived out. Our boasting in Christ, where is your boasting? Where is your boasting? Where do you take your confidence? As we conclude this letter, Paul had concluded this letter with this main emphasis. The overall emphasis that Paul's trying to get these Galatians to understand is, are you taking your hope in the fact that Christ died for you and your faith in Him? Or are you taking your hope in your human attainments and your works of merit? Surely, all of us can understand that human merit is not going to avail us of the salvation of God. But it's only through the cross of Christ that we can be saved. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation this evening, come as together we stand and sing.